Welcome to Year 2 of the Funding Love Podcast. I'm Mallory Elrod.
And I'm Caitlin Duckworth. We are two adoptive moms that seek to love, support, and elevate all corners of the adoption triad, including adoptive families, adoptees, and birth parents.
We do that through honest conversation with both expert and everyday voices about all things adoption and more, all while running our nonprofit, Funding Love.
We create post-adoption experiences that strengthen bonds, build community, and restore people.
We are Funding Love.
The podcast. Hey guys, it's Kate here. Welcome to episode 102 of the Funding Love Podcast. This episode is a recap episode. We are closing out our Adoptive Family Vacation 2024 today as we speak, and we have two of our six magic makers joining us on today's episode as guests, Jen Wilhorn and Kristen Voles, and we are going to recap from day one all the way till today, all the magical moments we had with our families, with our magic makers, and I'm telling you guys, this was a week that was full of magic, full of moments, full of bonding, full of restoration. And I just got to say, we could not do any of this without our donors. So I am excited to dive in. I'm excited for y'all to hear what happened this week. Thank you for tuning in. Let's take a listen. Welcome back to another episode of the Funding Love Podcast. We are in episode 102, and I am so excited to welcome Kristen Voles and Jen Wilhorn, two of our magic makers from this year's trip. Welcome, ladies, to the podcast.
Thank you so much. We're so excited to be here.
Yeah. You guys are two of the six magic makers that we had on this year's Adoptive Family Vacation. And this episode is a recap. We're going to talk about all things vacation because it is the last day. Families are on their way home as we are recording now. So this is kind of a live true recap, like hours post trip. So I'm so excited. And I just want to say to you guys first, before we jump in, like job well done. Because it is a long week. And, you know, Mallory, you've done many of these, but ladies, it's an exhausting week. I didn't even stay all week. So I can't imagine how y'all feel. So I just want to say job well done. And before we dive into like the events of the week and recap every single thing that went on and all of the good feelings, I want our listeners to get to know you guys a little bit better. So go ahead, Mal.
I was just going to mention before we really dive in, yeah, we are here in the lobby recording at Coronado Springs.
Yeah.
You might hear some background noise. You might hear some background music. A kid mm-hmm. ran by, a cast member come by. So I just wanted to give a heads up to our listeners. Our editor's going to do the best he can. But it's exciting to be recording right here on Disney property right after the trip has ended. So all of this that they're going to talk about and we're going to talk about is super fresh and super exciting. So yeah, let's give you guys a chance to introduce yourselves just a little bit. So Kristen, do you want to start? Just
sure.
Tell them a little bit about who you are.
So, hey, I'm Kristen. So I live local to Disney and I am in love with this organization. I have been coming to Disney with my family for about 24 years now. And it's just been a huge passion to make memories with my family here at Disney.
Awesome.
That's awesome.
I'm Jen. I come from farther away. I live in Wisconsin. And this is my first time with a Funding Love trip or experience. And it was absolutely fantastic. Our family, too, loves Disney. We love Disney cruises. We love Disney World, Disneyland. So we're a Disney family, too.
Yeah. I love that.
We always say at Funding Love, we choose vetted Disney experts. Both of these gals are travel agents, mm-hmm. in addition to just being Disney fans. So they really do know the inner and outer workings of everything to do with Disney. And they really did do a phenomenal job serving their families this week.
Yeah, I do want to say, so we call the magic makers, they're volunteer positions. So we call them like the secret weapons of our trip, because I think that is really what you guys are. You add that added magic. Like Mal said, you know the inner workings of the trip. So our families really don't have to think about a thing when they're on the vacation. And that is what we want for them. So I'm just curious to know, Kristen, this is your second trip and Jen, your first, but what was it that drew you guys to like want to be a part of this and want to be a magic maker and apply for this position?
So for me, a few years ago, when I came upon Funding Love, it was an instant draw when I saw what this organization was doing. I truly do believe that Disney offers a place where people can have a respite no matter where you are in your span of life. Everybody can benefit from that moment of just forgetting reality, and family bonds, friendship bonds, community bonds, any bond, they're all just entitled to be able to have that moment together. And for Funding Love to bring families together, to bring birth moms together, to see them have those moments that is so well nourished and spirited, that just really helps them walking away feeling so loved. I knew I wanted to jump in and be part of that and facilitate in any way that I could.
I love that. And Jen, tell us, what was it for you?
So I am an adoptive mom as well. And when we adopted our son, our first trip as a new family of five was a Disney cruise. And so that was a bonding trip for our family. Just a lot of memories were made on that trip. Our kids were a little older, so they were able to do activities together and just have fun as new siblings. And so when I heard about Funding Love, it just reminded me so much of what our family did all those years ago. And so to have an organization that combines my passion for the adoption community and a love of Disney, it just seemed like a natural fit to apply for this position.
Oh, gosh. And we are so glad to have both of you, honestly, like an easy fit. You guys were amazing. Gosh, but so much happened this week. And like I said, I was only able to stay like the first half of the vacation, which is so sad, but you know, duty calls. So I want to recap everything from the first day, which we had an opening night event on the Sunday night when all of the families were arriving and Magic Makers were there to welcome their families. But let's talk about that, what that opening night entailed and any magical moments that we may have witnessed. Mal, if you want to set us up what that night was.
So our opening night event is just a dinner at the resort. We rent out an event space so that our families can come in, drop their bags, get settled into their rooms, and not have to worry about where to find dinner. We provide a buffet dinner for them in a event space here at Coronado Springs, but we really jazz it up a bit. We had a DJ, we had a dance party. Mickey Mouse showed up to say hello so that they could go ahead and get that picture with Mickey right at the beginning of their trip. And it really was a lot of fun. Our goal is really for all of the families to meet each other, kind of break the ice with Mickey Mouse dancing, food, and fun. So it was great. So what did your families think of the event? Did they make any comments to you afterwards or throughout the trip?
They did. They said after opening night, they were just complete and enamored in awe of what was about to come this week. We can prep Aww. Them, we can tell them all the things, but the moment they walked into the event and had dinner, and then when Mickey Mouse came in to visit, I think it was all so just overwhelmingly joyful for them. And just kind of, you could see like a relief of, oh my gosh, this really is for us. It was amazing.
I thought it was so magical seeing the kids start to make friends and get to know each other. Just all it takes is a little fun music and Mickey Mouse doing a conga line and everybody is fast friends. So I think that was fantastic to see the kids hitting it up. And then also to be able to see the parents talk to other adoptive parents and have those conversations all within that safe space of the room where the kids could just run and play together.
Yeah. And it was really cool to see them be able to also start to build those bonds with their Magic Makers and get a feeling of who is going to be with them on their trip. But I did have one moment with your family, Kristen. She was the Magic Maker for this very family. They have adopted three out of foster care. And the first one they were placed with was Caden, and he does have some special needs. And that was something they were not expecting as foster and adoptive parents. But they are so good at caring for Caden. But he was having a blast that night, was he not? He was going around the room. He was making new friends. He was dancing his little feet off. And at one point, I was standing there talking with the parents, and Caden kind of ran to the other side of the room. And the mom like kind of had a moment in her chest of like, we got to go grab him. And the dad said, no, it's really okay. He's going to be okay. And I could see in a moment, like he felt safe in the room that was closed off with people that were watching and cared for his kids. And she looked at him and she knew she could trust her husband. And she looked at me and she said, we're just not used to this. We're just not used to people not judging us. If he comes up to them, we're not used to being able to kind of like let go for a minute and let him kind of be and have fun. And I said, he's doing great. And you can absolutely let him have his fun tonight. So that for me was like an immediate, like full body chill, tingle, like to see them be able to let go and let Caden just kind of have fun for the night, let loose.
Yeah. And to trust the community that they were in, yeah. which is the whole idea. Yeah. You know, one moment that happened, Mal, I know you shared this with me too. I call it, I don't know, like a magical moment or even like a God moment, because we've had these on our trips before, specifically our birth mom trip. But one of the servers that was assigned to our party, one of our servers that was assigned, Disney assigned her. There's no, like, she even said, she goes, we don't know what we're going to do when we show up to work. We're just kind of given an event. And she said, so I didn't know what event I was going to, but she's like, as I heard you guys give your opening remarks and whatever, she goes, I just started like welling up. She goes, I'm an adoptive mom. She goes, I have two kids that I brought to the family through adoption. And she was telling us her story and tearing up and just so grateful for the mission. And it's so crazy how that aligns, because we couldn't have like made that work any other better way. I mean, reminds me of our birth mom trip when we were setting up for our first birth mom opening night. And one of the people who were helping us said, you know, I'm a birth mom. I had no idea this existed. We're like, what is this? You know, so those moments that happen, even outside of the planned things that we have, are so cool. So I just had to share that one.
Yes. Yeah.
That was so awesome. So that leads us into our first day. So that's the first night. Everyone goes to bed exhausted. It's a travel day. It's a dinner day, Mickey. And then we start early, Animal Kingdom. And this is, I feel, historically been like the first day of our trip. Seems like a good ease into Disney, and it's just such a fun park. So let's take it away. What did day one entail?
Yeah, so we start each of our days pretty similar. We like to meet up at park open at the front of the park. We get a picture in front of that park's icon. So for the first day, it was the Tree of Life. We get some individual pictures of the families that they can take home with them to remember the day by. And then we all do the first attraction together, which was the Kilimanjaro Safari. And it was a blast. And then after we do our first attraction together, families have the option to kind of stick with a family they've connected with or go off and do their own thing. And it really was a seamless day from my point of view. But why don't you guys share one of your favorite memories from Animal Kingdom that day?
So we took the four kiddos in my family and went to the Festival of the Lion King show, which is always so much fun. The kids' eyes were so wide when the monkeys were doing their routine in the air. And I mean, you could just see their open mouths, and they were so excited, clapping and singing along. So that was a fantastic moment for our family.
For our family, I feel like there were two moments. One was our character meal for Tusker House, and for the children to see the characters, to see Mickey and Donald and Daisy and Goofy, and also doing a dance in the restaurant. And Hayden especially, he is so in love with the characters, and to see him just go up and hug him, and to see the characters embrace him so wonderfully. Hmm. And to see the younger ones, who are a little more shy and reserved, start to feel a little more comfortable with going up to the characters. Mm-hmm. And that was magic while they were there at Tusker House. That was a big moment for them.
Yeah, It's really cool to see some of these kids come out of their shell a bit as the trip goes on. I know that a lot of the families that we serve have kids that came from foster care, and so they just kind of had to grow up a little too soon. I know we've talked about that on previous episodes, to where they kind of feel a lot of times like they're the grown-up, or they need to take responsibility, or it's kind of hard for them to let go and be fun and be a kid. And I love that moments like that and being in Disney World reminds them that even though they've done hard things and maybe they had to take responsibility of things too soon in life, like, they can still just be a kid and have fun. And I think that is something that you just can't find anywhere else but Disney, especially meeting the characters, right? They turn everybody into a kid.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. And I just think it's cool. I mean, that for the first ride of the day was Safari, which is my favorite ride. But when we, you know, we're telling them the number in our group, we're like, 39, can we all fit on one bus? And we packed it. We squeezed in that bus. We packed it. We were not going to let anybody go on their own bus. And that was, I thought that is a really cool way to start the trip, really all together, experiencing it like in a safari bus. There's nowhere you can go. We're together. So that's a fun memory. That's a fun one. So then I feel like Animal Kingdom, it's not really a night park. So some people took it easy and went back early, got a good night's rest, because day two was Epcot. And like you said, Mal, we start the days pretty similar. So we got a fun picture in front of the Epcot ball, and then made our way to Frozen, which was the first ride of the day, which was so fun. But yeah, I'd love to know any magical moments For your guys' families and the Epcot day?
So for my family, Epcot had so many magical moments. It's hard to even be able to choose even a few of them. But one of the things that we were able to do that day is another magic maker and I kind of partnered together. And we took the four kiddos and we spent time in the playground and just spent some time with the kids so that mom and dad could have a little time together just to wander the world showcase and be able to just strengthen their bond as parents and have time to relax and enjoy Disney. And so it was an adventure in that playground. We had, you know, kiddos all over, but again, Disney does it so well because that playground was like a little gift in the middle of the park for those kids to just enjoy. And again, be in a safe place while mom and dad could enjoy some bonding time.
Mm-hmm. So my family, the parents, their magical moment that day, I feel like was they truly enjoy tea. That is their thing. They have tea in the morning. They have tea at night. They love tea. So for me, the mission was to get them to England in the World Showcase and take them to Twain's Tea Shop. And they thought they'd seen it all with all the tea, but they walked in and they were enamored with the options, especially the cold water infusion tea bags. Uh-huh. They had never seen that before. And I felt like I saw two kids in a candy shop as the parents watching them go through all of the product and deciding, what are we going to take back? We need to get this. Should we buy a new suitcase so we can fit more tea? Because they wanted so much tea. And they were just ear to ear with grins with the tea because that's their respite is when they have their tea. So I love that for them.
That's awesome. And then Mal, I want you to share the story of the Bush family because they were a family who, remember the husband and wife, their first kiss or something was at Epcot and their magic maker, Julie, made it her mission that day to kind of recreate that moment for them, which was kind of cool because it had been, I don't know how many years they've been married since they had been able to experience Epcot again together.
Yes, that's right. The Bush family is Paula and David, and they have their first two biological, and then they have two international adoptions from China and Colombia. And they started dating they went on dates in Epcot when they first met. I think I saw a bit of the scrapbook that Paula had made from their time together, and it said that David was trying to woo her on Disney property. Disney, you know, would be the magical place. They shared their first kiss in France, and then I believe they went back for their honeymoon, and they really had not been back since. And what a special thing to come back four kids later, many years later, and find that spark and that connection again. And their magic maker, Julie De La Faye, who traveled with us last year, did such an excellent job finding the little spots that they had been at before, making sure they got a picture in the same spots and kind of recreate those memories. And one of my favorites that she sent me was a video of him twirling her in France. And then you see their youngest, Evelyn, kind of hop across the video. It's like, my times change, but you know, what sweet memories to make. So that was really cool and magical.
Yeah, that is a magic maker moment there for sure. That's super fun. Okay, so that leads us out to day two. Day three is Community Day, which is a day, I don't know, maybe we added that a couple years ago, realizing it was a much needed day of rest for these families. So Community Day is a day families can sleep in, unwind a little bit, hit the pool, go shopping, just kind of be together in a community of adoptive families, adoptees, and get to know each other kind of in a closer level or just together as a family. The parks are tiring. Especially with a whole bunch of littles. I mean, Jen, you had a family of littles. Like I think the oldest two were five and then taper down from there. So that day I feel like is much needed. But tell us a little bit about that day for you guys and your families.
Sure. So there is nothing like a swimming pool to encourage everybody to just have fun and be together. So it was awesome to see not only the kids from the family that I was serving, but all of the kids seeing each other in the pool, swimming, bouncing around. Again, a great place where parents can just relax and have fun too and enjoy time with their kids. And then I will say as a magic maker, that day was fantastic because I got to be with the kids, see them a little bit, but then also it gave me some time just to connect with the other magic makers and talk with them a little bit and learn more about them. So I loved that day with the family and with the magic makers.
Much needed. Kristen, what about you? What was some fun moments that you recall?
So I thought what was really just a moment to sit back and watch was dinner, when we had dinner that we met in Disney Springs for our community dinner at Maria and Enzo, and to sit back. And so families were put together that hadn't had a chance to really get a chance to connect and talk, and watching that, like, so I was with the Zaveris and the Millers, and it was great. They chatted up the whole time about their experiences with their foster children and agencies and their journey. And they just, it's like they couldn't get enough of each other and their stories and the compassion that they gave each other. So I just got to literally be witness to such bonding in that moment in that community.
Oh, that's what it's all about. Oh my gosh. That is what it's all about. We live for those moments for these families, because we want not only the adoptees to feel loved in this process, but for the families to find their community too, as, you know, parents raising adoptees, which we know is not easy post-placement. That's the whole idea. Okay. So day three, community day, rest. We're well rested. Have a good meal. Day four is Hollywood Studios. Now, I was not here for that, which is so sad, because I was watching via social media. And I'm not going to lie, I wish I would have been there for all of those moments. The moments in Star Wars land, all those pictures were so great. So talk to us about that day with your guys' families. What are some magical moments?
So the boys, there were three boys in my family, and they were all huge Toy Story fans. So watching them experience Slinky Dog Dash and Toy Story Mania, and then they got to meet Buzz Lightyear, and you could just see the look on their face just grinning from ear to ear, and they were like pushing his buttons, and we got some fantastic pictures of them interacting with Buzz. And as if all of that wasn't enough, then we got to eat lunch at Woody's Lunchbox. So the Toy Story fun just kept going on and on that day. And the boys were thrilled.
That's awesome.
So my family, the Zaveris, they are immense Star Wars fans. Going back to Shalin, the dad, his first movie theater experience, I believe, was number 4 for Star Wars. And so he has fond memories from early on, all the Star Wars things. So they do all kinds of things at home. They have lots of photographers as well. And they have paintings in their home. They've seen all the movies. They collect awesome. All the puzzles. So Star Wars was a big, big deal on Hollywood Studios Day. So it was really magical for them to be able to immerse as if being in the planet Batuu. So all the things, all the photo ops, the rides, Rise of the Resistance was beautiful, because we were able to coordinate exactly the moment when you're on that ride to where they had that stormtrooper moment, and you see their face light up and like taken back.
Shalin did a verbal like, whoa.
Yes.
It was so cute.
It was so, so cute. And getting them by the Millennium Falcon and the photo pictures that we did, eating and docking bay, like every moment, just take the parents built lightsabers, the kids had droids.
Oh, they did it all. My word,
they did it all. And another moment for them was the kids all sitting down. There's like this rubber pad that's by where Rey and Chewie are up above, kind of greeting guests. And they pulled their droids out, they let the kids pull them out, and they just played with their remote controls. And that was great, because the Elrod kids are there. There was another adoptive family there with us, and they just all really enjoy just moments together. Playing, like, just simply with their toys.
Wow. You come to Disney and you think that the rides are going to be it. You think that the goal is to get on every ride. And then you experience something like that, where you're just driving a droid around a little pad in Batuu, and realize that those are really the most magical memories, the ones that happen in those in-between times between the rides. And I do just want to say a big shout out and thank you to our donors, because we do give all of our families, each member of our family, a little bit of money to go towards a souvenir. But things like droids and lightsabers, when you're budgeting for a Disney vacation that is so expensive, those are the things that are the first to go. Those are the things that you don't necessarily always have the margin for. And I'm so grateful that our families did not have to worry about the cost of the trip and the food and the stay and the tickets, so that they could bring home these souvenirs that are going to make those memories last that much longer. It was so cute. I was talking to Ambreen, the mom, and she was like, oh, we're going to put a shelf in our master bedroom, and we're going to hang up these lightsabers. And they're really excited to keep those as a keepsake for the rest of their lives to remember this trip by.
Oh gosh, that's special. I can see that for them. After meeting them, I'm like, I can see that. I can see that in their bedroom. Some droids and some lightsabers. That's awesome. But let's talk about the magical moment from a donor that day that our families got to experience when they were watching the live action show, Indiana Jones. So tell us about that, Mel.
Yes, we had a longtime donor reach out to us. He has provided ice creams for us in the past that we were able to pass out during fireworks at Magic Kingdom. And then he showed up to our gala last year and got to hear from stage the family say how meaningful that was to get the ice creams. So last year at the gala, he was like, every trip that you go on, I want to buy ice creams for the families. And so we said, hey, why don't you just come on over to Hollywood Studios today and hand them out yourself? You can see the families and be able to gift them those ice creams. And it was so magical. We didn't tell them it was happening. We just said, hey, everybody meet for the 3:15 showing of Indiana Jones. And we all sat down. We had great seats, like the left side front, which I love to get, because if you've seen the Indiana Jones show, you know that in the beginning, he comes right in front of you. And that's right where the big ball comes out to roll over him. Great seats. And then we were able to have him and my husband, Tim, pass out Mickey bars to everyone. And it was such a great moment. And I also want to share, not only did the families really enjoy that, I think your families enjoyed it. I mean, if you looked at our social media, I'll have to repost it, but there's a picture of Silas, the youngest, in the Miller, and you could just describe him. Like
chocolate and ice cream from his hairline all the way down to his toes. He loved that Mickey bar wholly and completely.
It was hilarious and it made for a great picture. But I have to say, after the show, I had a woman come up to me and say, hi, I know you don't know me, but I was watching you hand out Mickey bars, saw your shirt said Funding Love. And so we Googled it and I started crying because we are a foster family that have now adopted the little girl that they fostered. And she said, we have seen such a gap in placement like this. All of the support falls off after you reach finalization. And you have so much on that front end when you're a foster family or when you're going through the adoption process. And she was like, I love what you do. And she also mentioned that she really helped to fight for her daughter's first family and for reunification that just wasn't possible. But she also thanked us for really standing up for first families and birth moms as well, and being able to provide support for them, because she just gushed over how important she's seen that in her own life. And she said, I'm going back home and I'm telling everybody about Funding Love.
Oh my gosh.
So what a magical moment that a donor giving out ice creams actually inspired someone else to engage in what we do. So it was just all around this really full circle.
Oh my gosh. I did not know that story. Literally chills. I love those moments. That is so.
Same with Carmen. So Carmen, if you're listening, it was such an honor to meet you. And I hope that we can catch up again someday.
Yes. And engage with us. We'd love to continue to be a part of your family. But okay. That was a big day. Fifth day, final day, Magic Kingdom. You know, they say last day, best day, and it really looks like it, to be honest with you, from my seat. So I love Magic Kingdom. To me, that's where the magic of Disney really is. I mean, you can find it anywhere, but it's a special park. And we had something special for our family. So tell us about that, Mal. And then I want to know from Magic Maker some magical moments from that day as well.
Yeah, absolutely. So we tried to encourage the families to not get there at Park Open and take it a little bit slower, although it's hard. Some had reservations for Bippity Boppity. Some had things they wanted to get done in the park. And, you know, it's just hard when you wake up in Disney World, you want to go to the parks. But we all met in front of the castle at 10 a.m. for a group picture. It was actually pretty good timing. There was the castle show started, so they were able to view a bit of the Friendship Fair castle show that happened right in front, so they could see Mickey and Minnie and the princesses. And then they split up to do a couple of rides on their own and have lunch, because at 2:15, we met right in front of Town Square, Town Hall, where Mickey meets, so that we could start our VIP tour. We had four amazing guides that were with us. We had Charlie, Allie, Holly, and Eric, and they did a truly phenomenal job. We were able to kind of break it up into groups of 10 or less with each guide. We did stay together for some parts, and then we'd break apart. As you know, this family wants to go on a thrill ride. This one wants to do a chill ride, I like to call it. But they were able to get Lightning Lane access to anything that they wanted to ride. And the guides this time were so great. We had tons of bottles of water handed out multiple times to stay hydrated. They gave out churros. They gave out ice cream bars.
Gosh.
They gave out, one group got a whole bunch of Mickey pretzels, and they truly made the magic for these families. So tell us one magical memory on the VIP tour from you.
Oh my goodness. It was the whole day, start to finish was incredible. So I had little Ellie, of the Miller family, who the whole week was not convinced that she was at Walt Disney World because she hadn't seen the castle.
Oh, so yeah.
Every day she was like, well, there's not a castle here. This isn't Walt Disney World. So to walk, I'll get choked up, to walk down Main Street with her. It was so beautiful. Her face, and she was in, of course, a princess dress. Like, her whole day, mm-hmm. she was a princess. Oh. And the guides kind of...
I'm all crying.
The guides yeah. helped facilitate that and just made it a day for her.
Wow. Mm. Gosh.
Oh, my gosh. Look at us all crying. Now, let's collect ourselves, ladies. Oh, I love that. That is what it's all about. What about for you, Kristen?
Did you have a magical memory in Magic Kingdom with your family as well?
Very much so. I think for them, the magical moment was pretty much to piggyback off of, I don't think they realized like what it would do. Shal and I remember him saying specifically, he's like, there's no detail unturned. He said, this music, I just feel like it just, I don't know. This is blowing my mind. Like, you hear Disney, but I think for him taking it in and watching his kids and seeing when we turned the stroller with Caden and he saw the castle and the excitement for Amberine, it's always that turn of being in Magic Kingdom and seeing it, and you see mm-hmm. it in the movies, you see it on the television, drawing of the castle, for them to see that. Mariah, the little girl, she is the second, it's Caden and then Mariah. And she, I don't think she knew what to do with herself. I think she was so giddy and so in awe. And then as I looked at her, she started to peep a smile and really take it in. And then it was very, very sweet. Mm-hmm. Like, to see again that moment where they felt like, wow, this is a beautiful thing.
And I think that Shalyn showed me Caden's picture on Tron 3 times at least.
Yes.
He was like, did you see the picture of Caden on Tron? Did you see the picture of Caden on Tron? It was so... I love that they got to make that memory, him and Caden riding side by side, the wind blowing their hair back. It was so yes, cute.
That was definitely a hit for them. Tron was a huge hit for them. So I stood down by the coaster and caught a video of them when they came down, and I did a still shot so they could see themselves, all four of them together. And they stared at that pretty much a lot of the day and the next day, and they just really loved it.
Gosh, the castle does something to you. That park does. Those are moments. Yeah.
We're also able to end the night in the VIP viewing area. That's just that right there is worth all the cost of a VIP tour or the hassle of trying to get a VIP tour. It's worth it right there because you don't have to elbow your way or hold down a spot for an hour. Our guides literally walked us there maybe 20 minutes before the fireworks started. We had room to sit down. Even one of our magic makers said, I've never been able to sit down and watch Magic Kingdom fireworks before. We were able to eat another ice cream. They were passing out ice creams and waters galore so that we could have a treat while we were watching the show. And there's just nothing more magical. And then I love the way that we time our VIP tours at Funding Love, because we also know, if you've been to Disney, that the fireworks can be very magical. And then the moment they're over, it's not, because you have to get your way out of that park with strollers and crowds and, you know, the cast members saying, this way, this way. Our VIP tour guide made that so much more simple by being able to scoot them off to their own private transfer. They had vans that were not out of the front entrance, but kind of out of the side entrance, so they could get in a van and get taken straight back to their resort without having to wait on a bus. And that is magic in itself. So thank you to all of our donors that donate these tours. These tours are not paid for by Funding Love dollars. They were actually donated specifically by donors. And if that is you, you have no idea the magic and ease that this creates for the families and how it just allows them to create bonds even more because of the stress of the planning and the lines and the transportation taken off of their plate for that day.
Can I jump in something with that?
Yes, thank you.
Not only is it, you know, beautifully convenient and just makes things so easy, for so many of the kiddos that were with us this week, they have sensory processing disorders or even safety concerns because of maybe some of their past history. So to be able to watch the fireworks in a place that there was a little more space, it felt safe because our group was right around them too. And I think that allowed the parents to be able to relax and enjoy it so much more as well. So that was just a beautiful gift to be able to have that space.
Mm-hmm. Yes, absolutely. I totally agree.
I do have to say though, too, to that point, I think that that's another big mission of what we do here at Funding Love, that the adoptive family and the adoptive triad is such an underseen or undernoticed, undersupported community. A lot of adoptees carry trauma or invisible disabilities, I guess you should say. Of course, there's those that have special needs and things like special needs adoptions, but there are even children that are adoptees that have disabilities or struggles, even I wouldn't even call them a disability, a difference or a struggle that's invisible, that is harder to navigate and to be able to see those parents and support the parents in something because we understand that as an organization, I think is super important and another reason why we have to keep continuing to do what we do.
Yes, well said. I totally agree. Because you're right, Mel. I like that you said, call them like invisible, kind of invisible, would you say invisible disorders, invisible struggles that they have, because from the pictures, you'd be like, oh, they're fine. But no, you're right. And Jen, that's a good way to put it, is that those parents could actually sit back and be like, wow, we're a little bit safer in this space. And honestly, that also speaks to you guys as magic makers, to be with these families, with these kids that have these unseen or invisible struggles. You are an extra set of hands for them. You are an extra set of security for them. So that is another part of why we do magic makers and have these magical moments. Mal, well said. I'm glad you brought that up. Now, that all of that leads to today, which is the farewell morning. And that's always the hardest, I know, because in just one short week, you become family with these families. So let's talk about that. I mean, what was that like? And what were some unexpected feelings or what can we share about that?
Yeah. So some of the families did have to leave really early this morning. So they didn't all get together to say goodbye. So really last night at the fireworks was a time where we kind of saw some tears, kind of felt those emotions as we left goodbye. Some of the families did get together this morning for breakfast in the quick service area, and they were able to connect one last time. But I think you hit the nail on the head and like in those emotions. I think, Jen, you said you saw some families this morning. Were there
Absolutely. All the feels. And I know I had to say goodbye to my family last night because they were an early flight. And it was really emotional. Honestly, I think the thing that was getting us through is that we learned we only live a few hours away from each other. So we are planning to connect. But I know Catherine, the mom of the Miller family, mentioned that she would love a reunion because they got so close with so many different people in the group.
Mm-hmm. I love that.
You have to keep making those happen for sure.
yeah, for sure. Now I'm going to ask this. What is, Jen, this is your first year, as we've said, as a magic maker. This is kind of a broad, vague question, but what are you taking away from this week as an individual?
You know, it's, there is something that fills you up, seeing Disney through the eyes of little kids. Mm-hmm. So I mostly have enjoyed Walt Disney World with my kids as older kids, which is its own magic. But to see it through little ones, to see little Silas swaying back and forth on It's a Small World the whole time, just watching, like, that's something that I'll take with me to fill me up. Mm-hmm. And magic exists, right? Magic mm-hmm. exists.
Mm-hmm. I love it. Kristen, what are you taking away?
For me, I am taking away just how much I saw this week and what this community, I am not part of the adoption triad, but my heart and watching this and learning this as my second time as a magic maker, watching the families and how much of a need this is and seeing these barriers that have come down, the laughter that has been able to happen, the joy, the way they've been able to hug their children and their children feel just, you can just see it. And that was really just so eye-opening on how much this family, this community needs to be seen and to give them these moments that are pure magic, because magic is in the eye of the beholder. And they saw so much magic this week. And it's just, my heart now is even more to help pursue as much as possible for more families, more of this community to be seen.
That's so well said. And I just want to remind our listeners and our donors and everybody who's listening and a part of what we do, you guys are volunteers. You guys do not get paid to be here for this whole week. You guys fundraise for this trip, or if you don't fundraise, you pay your way. So that is huge for you guys to give up your time, your energy, your finances to be a part of what we do. Thank you a million times, because we could not do it. Funding Love, what we do without our magic makers. We cannot provide the magic that we do without our magic makers. Our families would feel as connected without our magic makers. So I just want to thank you for being here this week and for giving truly yourselves, because I know your families loved you as they did, as all the families loved their magic makers, but you guys are awesome. So thank you again.
Yeah.
You guys are awesome.
Thank you.
And thank you for doing this podcast, because you guys are about to head home in your own journeys too. So thank you for taking the time to do this podcast. We love you. And any final words, Mel?
Yeah, it was a wonderful trip overall. This is the 26th after the end of this trip. With the culmination of it, we have officially sent 26 adoptive families on all expenses paid trips to Walt Disney World.
Unbelievable.
And that feels really cool to have done in just 5 short years. So I cannot wait to see where we go and how we grow. And in 5 more years, how many more families that we can help to strengthen bonds and build community and leave Disney property feeling restored and hopeful and full of joy and Disney magic. So let's keep going, Caitlin.
Let's do it.
We've got a lot of work to do, girl. And the gala is coming up fast. So if someone's listening to this today,
yes,
they want to travel to the Orlando area, or they're in the Orlando area, tickets are on sale right now. If you go to fundinglove.com/gala, come to our gala. It's a huge fundraising event that is going to help us to project for the next year how many families are going to get to come with us next year and how many birth moms are going to travel this fall and next fall. So it's really important. So if you haven't engaged with us before, you could come to our gala, or you could give online. We also have a merchandise shop. You can find all of that on our website at fundinglove.com. And we would just love to partner with you and to have you engage in this community as well.
Yes, absolutely. And the gala, not only is it a time of fundraising, but it is a night of fun. Honestly, we planned an event that is so much fun, and I'm so looking forward to it. So I know Jen and Kristen will be there. So we're excited that 2 of our magic makers are coming back to the gala with us. But yeah, what a week, ladies. I hope you guys can go and find some rest for yourselves, prop your feet up, and take it all in, process it for the next little bit. But we love you guys again. And thank you to the donors again for what you do to allow us to serve these families. And thank you, listeners, for tuning in to this episode of the Funding Love Podcast. We'll see y'all next week.
Thank you for listening to this week's episode of the Funding Love Podcast. We are a crowdfunded nonprofit, which means that people like you can help make a lasting impact in the lives of adoptive families and birth moms. At Funding Love, we create post-adoption experiences that strengthen bonds, build community, and restore people. And when you partner with us, whether that is giving online, signing up to become a monthly donor, or simply buying merchandise from our shop, you are Funding Love.